hearing God. So those who were here on Friday, what did you think? Was it interesting?
It was encouraging.
Encouraging? Yeah.
Eric was even encouraged.
That's awesome. Yeah. So to build from that, I'm going to hand out some papers. Well, this is not homework. This is today's little thing. And so it's a devotion, which we're kind of going to do together. And maybe we could practice with our family. We could practice. This is day one, and there's 5 days I have. I didn't give you all five. Just for today. This is for today. I don't know if I have enough copies. And so we're going to go through it together. Good morning. And I'll put that there. One for you. And, oh, I do have. Who am I? And one for you. I don't want to forget you.
What about me?
Well, your wife's over there.
Yeah.
Huh?
I like it that way.
All right. Okay. So it's called renewing the mind. And I love it. Have a couple extras. So we'll go and pray first. Okay? Father, we thank you. Oh, Lord, we thank you that you desire your children to hear your voice and to know you intimately and personally. Father, I pray that if there's any blockage in our lives that is hindering us to hear your voice, that you would reveal that to us. Lord, we thank you that your holy presence is here. You're always with us. And Lord, help us to see you and to know you, to really desire to spend time with you intimately throughout our day, and to really grow in habit of spending time with you and eating at your table and fellowship with you. And thank you, Lord Jesus, that you give us substance, food to chew on, to be that spiritual cow always chewing and swallowing and bringing it back up, chewing on it some more, and to get the nutrients from your word that sustains us. Lord, we thank you for your word. And Lord, I pray that you would just move mightily in our lives as we yield to your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. So when I was in Wyoming, we did that. And there was another one that we did in our group. So I shared that with, I think it was Nina or Nathaniel. We had six people in the front, and we didn't know who would stand behind us. And so we said, Lord, is there anything that you want us to share with that person behind us? And it was pretty amazing how God gave us a prophetic word for that person. And I think so many times we were more concerned about speaking in tongues than actually growing in the prophetic gift, the prophetic gift of prophecy, of healing, right? Because everybody just talks about tongues. But there's other gifts that God wants us to be operating in. Do you believe that? Right? So he wants us to hear his voice. I believe Paul says, I'd rather you guys speak five prophetic words rather than speaking in tongues. So it's better to speak, to have a prophetic word, to hear God's voice, to understand his voice, so that it leads us, he leads us. So we're not leading ourselves, but he's leading us into truth. And he's keeping us on that narrow path so that we don't go straying away. That makes sense? And so as we read Exodus 20, in verse 1, so Exodus 20. We're not going to read all of it. But so in Exodus 20, this is when when God led the Israelites out of Egypt. And they're at Mount Sinai. And in verse 1 it says, then God spoke all these words. Who was God speaking to?
Moses.
Hey?
Moses.
No. Who was God speaking to? Israel. He was speaking to the masses. He wasn't speaking to Moses. He was speaking to all of Israel, all the people that he led out. So God never intended for you to just to go through somebody else to hear his voice. He wants to be you and him hearing his voice, spending time with him, and not be afraid to spend intimate time with him. Okay? He wants you one-on-one, spending time, hearing his voice, to know his voice. Because then God spoke all these words, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the houses of bondage. Just think of how the Lord has brought us out of bondage. You know? He brought us out of bondage. He's brought us out of the darkness and into the light. And he says, you shall have no other gods before me or besides me. You shall not make yourself any graven image or to worship or any likeness that is in heavenly above or that is in earth beneath or it is in the water underneath. We're supposed to have no other idols before God, only him, as we worship him. So he gives the commandments to him, right? To all of Israel. And all of Israel is hearing what God is saying. And you can read through that. And then so verse 18, it says, now all the people perceived thunderings and lightnings. This is after God Almighty is speaking to Israel. He says, you shall, now the people perceived the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet. That was speaking of God's voice. He heard his voice. All the people heard his voice. And the smoking mountains, and as they looked, they trembled with fear and fell back and stood far away. They were afraid because God was speaking to them. And they said to Moses, so the people recognized it was God speaking. They said to Moses, you speak to us and we will listen. So they didn't want to hear directly from God. They only want to hear from Moses because they are too afraid to hear from God directly. And I think sometimes we are sometimes afraid to hear God directly because what is God going to say to me? Would that be true sometimes? We don't really want to spend time one-on-one with God because we don't want to know what God's going to say to us. We're afraid. God is very gracious. He's very kind. He will help us. He would draw us closer to him as we yield to him. So they fell back instead of far. Right? And Moses said to the people, fear not. Jesus said that often. Fear not. For God has come to prove you, so that you have fear of him. It's not fear of trembling, but an awe of him, knowing that he's a holy, righteous God. That fear is to draw you closer to him, not to be afraid of him, but to have reverence for him, and an awe for him, and have an awe of his precepts, to know that he's a holy, righteous God, that he has our best intent, our best interests at hand. So he wants to speak to you personally, to lead and guide you through every circumstance of your life. So if we're afraid, may we take a time and say, Lord, help me not to be afraid of you. And Lord, help me to hear your voice. Because God speaks in many different ways. He speaks through his word, right? He gives you a rhema word. Sometimes you read scripture and a word pops up or a phrase pops up. That's God speaking to you, right? God will use somebody to speak to you and to reconfirm what he's already been saying to you. And so Moses told him, fear not. Fear him maybe before you that you may not sin. So to have reverence for God, a holy reverence for God so that we would not sin. That's why we should be having a holy reverence for God so that we will not sin. I think sometimes we're lacking holy reverence for God in our lives because we don't want to get close to him because we sometimes like the sin that we're in, kind of go to. But if you have holy reverence, you would desire not to sin. And that's his hope. Can totally transform you. And the people stood afar away, but Moses drew near to the thick darkness where God was. So God wants us to draw closer to him. So John 15, before we do the thing, John 15. So we'll go to the New Testament. So Jesus is saying, I am the vine, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. God is the gardener. He trims things in our lives that is entangling us, things that keeps us in bondage. He's working in our lives to free us up. So in Jesus, any branch of me that does not bear fruit, he cuts away. And he cleanses us and repeatedly prunes us, prunes every branch that continues to bear fruit. When you are being pruned, it's helping us to be more fruitful. And then to become more fruitful, we need to be hearing God's voice and spending time with him. Does that make sense? This is why it's so important to spend time with God Almighty every day. Every day to sit at his table and eat from his table. To commune with him, to chew on the word that he's given us. Not to just receive it and just do whatever, but to apply it to our lives so that we could hear his voice more clearly. So every branch that continues to bear fruit, to make it bear more and richer and more excellent fruit, so become more like Christ. So the sin that usually before would easily entangle us, it would not really have any effect on us because we're being pruned and we desire that no longer, that we'll continue to move forward and be led of the Holy Spirit. You are cleansed and pruned already because the word which has been given to you. So we're already being pruned. We are being pruned right now. Dwell in me, and I will dwell in you. Just as no branch can bear fruit of itself without abiding in, who are we supposed to be abiding in? Jesus, right? We can't look to ourselves. We have to look to the source. We have to look to Jesus. Jesus is the only one who we can have fruit. He's the one who's given his fruit to us. He's the one who's given us peace and joy, contentment, encouragement. It's all from him. He says, neither you bear fruit unless you abide in me. So we don't bear fruit. We bear his fruit. It says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever lives in me and I in him bears much fruit. However, apart from me, you can do nothing. That's why it's important to hear his voice. If a person does not dwell in me, he is thrown out like a broken branch and withers. And then he be gathered up, thrown into the fire, and they are burned. If you live in me, so abide in him, and my words remain in you, and you continue. Sir, online, continue. It's an ongoing thing. And you continue to live in your, if he continues to live in your hearts, ask whatever you will, and it shall be done. That's the key part. If you continue in him, continue to trust him, abide in him, then you could ask him things. So if we're not continue abiding in him, sometimes that's why we don't receive from him, because we're not doing what the verse is saying, abiding in him, continue to be in him. And when you bear much fruit, my Father is honored and glorified, and you show and prove yourselves to be true followers of mine. This is about the fruit. We're revealing who is our Lord. So I have loved you as the Father has loved me. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, we read that in Exodus. We were kind of read it first. If you keep my commandments, right? And what is his commandments? Not to have any, like, love thy Lord thy God with all thy strength, with all thy heart. That's the commandments summed up, all 10. Have no other gods before him. To love him, not to covet, not commit murder, Do not sexual sins. Do not do this stuff. If you love him, we will not. We'll keep. If we love him, we'll keep his commandments. So I have told you these things that you may have joy and delight and may be in you, that your joy and gladness may be of full measure and complete and overflowing. So this is the reason why we Mark 12, 28 to 30, it talks about, sums up the Ten Commandments. But in Exodus 20, it talks about if we follow his commandments, if we do his commandments, if we fail, we repent and say, Lord, forgive me for coveting this. Forgive me, Lord, for not having this idol in my life. There's things that we deal with. And so as we get into now, into day one of this, if the weeds are gone, the harvest increases. So perhaps you have noticed an urgence in the past decade among all ages of exploring the joy and difficulty of planting one's garden. There's a lot of work in planting a garden. Fresh, vibrant vegetables have become greatly valued, and has the process of discovering the land. Of course, lessons are swiftly learning regarding what does and does not lead to significant and tasty harvests. And what is one such lesson? Get rid of the weeds. Do we have weeds in our lives? In John 15, our Father is the gardener. He prunes us. The Holy Spirit lives in us and reveals things in our lives, weeds in our lives that are choking out the Word of God. Because in Matthew 13, it talks about, there's four different types of soil, right? And about the weeds. And so as we look and we desire to follow the Lord, is there weeds in our own lives? So this also relates to hearing the voice of God. There are weeds to be initially removed from your life so that you can hear what God is saying. This shouldn't surprise you. This shouldn't surprise you. As you engage, conversation requires to get rid of distractions, feel with unforgiveness, learning to listen, etc. So what weeds that we may get pulled out? So verse number one is unwillingness to hear God. Did you know that Jesus told stories called parables? We know that. So that those who did not want to hear the truth could avoid it. Whoever had will be given more. So Matthew 13, 12 to 13. So Matthew 13, 12. Bless you, John. For whoever has to him will give more, and he will be furnished richly, so that he will have abundance. But from him who has not, even has will be taken away. This is the reason that I speak to them in parables, because having the power of seeing, they do not see, and having the power of hearing, they do not hear, nor do they grasp the understandings. He wants us to understand, and he's the only one that helps us to understand what his word is saying. So, do we have an unwillingness to hear from God? Spending time with him. Not just going through the motions, but sitting down in a quiet place, reopen his word, and say, Lord, here I am. Speak to me today. Spending quality time with the Father. And he will reveal that. He wants to speak to you that day. And if you have a journal, you write it down. What the Lord revealed to you. What he shared with you. So he doesn't force you to hear from him. But he invites you to sit down with him. Does that make sense, right? He wants you to fall in love with him. He wants you to know him intimately and personally. So the number two, the unwillingness to surrender until we know the cost. Have you ever been there? The Lord's asking you to surrender something, but you said, no, I'm not going to surrender yet. Or do we wholeheartedly just surrender to him? Are we kicking and screaming? Is he asking you to surrender something to him today? Has he been speaking to you this week about surrendering something to him? So it says, some do not believe that Jesus has their best interest in mind. That he wants, but he wants good things for them. Therefore, they desire to know what he wants and what it may cost them. I think of, you look at the disciples. Wasn't it not Elijah? He was a farmer. He was in the field. Right, was Elijah in the field with the ox? He was cultivating his land. Prophet came to him. Or was that Elisha? I can't remember. Elisha. Right. So the prophet came to him. He says, come, follow me. And what was his response? He burnt the cultivator. He burnt and he cooked up the ox. He ate it. They had a feast. And why did he do that? Burn his bridges. So he cannot go back to his past. Right? There's no way he could go back to his past because he's burnt his cultivator and killed the means of what would pull that cultivator. So what is God speaking to you today? What do we need to give up to move forward with him? What do we need to lay down at the cross and say, Lord, I'm going to be obedient to you because you're calling me to move forward with you, to know you more intimately. What do I need to leave behind? Because we look at, you know, the disciples. Jesus came to them. They were fishermen. They were running the family fishing business. Jesus came. They knew he was a teacher. They knew he was a rabbi. So they, when Jesus said, come, follow me, I'll make you fishermen of men, they dropped everything. But when you look at, eventually when Jesus was caught up after the resurrection, they went back to the family business again. They never gave it up. But then Jesus came back and spent 40 days with them. And then they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and then they never went back to be, they became fishermen of men. But what is the Lord asking us to give up? What are he's asking us to surrender to him? And I think sometimes that hinders us because we're afraid that God's going to ask us to give up something that we enjoy. And sometimes we don't want to spend time with him because we're afraid that he's going to ask us to give up something we really love and enjoy. I know the Lord has asked me to give up. I used to go out quadding all the time. I love quadding. We would be always quadding, out west, quadding. I love to be in the mountains. I love being out there. But as I asked the Lord, Lord, how my desire is to serve you. And that sooner, as time went on, I didn't desire to always go out west. I still loved to quad, but my love for him grew. And he gave me new passions. But don't be afraid what God's going to ask you to surrender. Because he might say, you know what, you're going to grow in that, but to use it for his glory. So Romans 8:28 says, we know that all things God works for good for those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. So that is truth. He uses all things for his purpose, for his glory. He gives us passions and loves, but are we using it to glorify him? So related, some will fear what God might ask them. Perfect love casts out fear. You may come into his presence and say, Lord, here I am, Lord. Let me initiate with love and steal your fears. Let him, you know, take away the fear that you may have to spend time with him. So the third one of the weeds is unconfessed sin. So when a husband and wife have something between them, a tension and isolation can result in their relationship. those are not fun times. How many of us can understand that? When there's tension between you and your wife, there's tension. There's not oneness. There's a spiritual heaviness, tension. You still love them, but there's a tension between you. And then as soon as you repent to them and get right with them, that atmosphere changes, right? And that's the same thing with the Lord. When we have sinned against the Lord, we broke any of the Ten Commandments. And if we have done that, we need to repent of it and get right with Him. Because sin is a block. We're still His children, but still sin still blocks. We could actually quench the Holy Spirit in our lives if we are disobedient. And then we wonder why we don't hear God's voice. Because He wants to speak to us. So sin is another thing that could block from hearing God's voice. So we ask, Lord, is there any unconfessed sin in my life that needs to be dealt with? And if there is, you write it down and you repent of it and get right with God. And if God doesn't reveal anything, then you know there's no sin there that needs to be dealt with that day. The Holy Spirit will reveal to you what sin needs to be dealt with. So the psalmist in Psalm 66:18 says, if I have cherished sin in my heart, the Lord will not have listened. He doesn't hear. When you be praying and asking for things, why would God hear you? So there's a blockage. That's why we need to ask the Lord daily. Was it Psalm 139? It talks about, Lord, search my heart. Know if there's anything in my life that needs to be dealt with. Search my heart. So that if there's any blockage, we know He will reveal it to us. Because He's the one that searches our hearts. And we know when we sin. So we need to confess it right away. So number four, lack of knowledge of how to hear God's voice. Sometimes people simply have never been taught how to hear God's voice. Ignorance is not a bliss. So ignorance does not excuse you. As in the Old Testament in Job 33:14 says, For God does speak now on one way, now another, though no one perceives it. We also see it in the life of Samuel, that indeed Eli's help to recognize God's voice in 1 Samuel 3. So Eli had to be taught how to hear God's voice. He was hearing it, but he thought it was his master calling him, beckoning him at night. So we have to be taught how to hear God's voice. Because every voice we hear is not always from God. Do we know that? Satan is trying to distract you. Satan comes around trying to be like an angel of light. You look how many false doctrines are out there, how many churches are leading people astray because they're not teaching biblical truths. They're teaching heresy. And we see how those churches that are teaching heresy, how they are growing, because it gives people itching ears, which they love. It doesn't deal with the sin. It doesn't deal with growing in godly character. It only makes you feel good. So we have to recognize, Lord, is this Your voice or not? So through the Bible, as we read the Bible, it's our filter. Is this really God's voice? Does it line up to the Word of God? The Bible is our filter. So when someone gives a prophetic word, it needs to line up to the Word of God. Because the Word of God never contradicts itself. The word, when somebody prophesies, should always line up to the truth of the gospel. That makes sense, right? Everybody's quiet today. If we could hear God another 10% clearer than we do now, how would that affect your life?
Immensely.
Immensely, right? I desire for this congregation to grow and hear God's voice, to grow in godly character, to grow in the giftings that God has given each one of us, right? To grow in and to grow in, and to become the people that he desires to be. And the sin that easily entangles us, it would not have effect on us anymore because we're becoming more and more in tune to what God is speaking to us about. He says, abide in me. Jesus say, abide in him, abide in him. That's why I love John 15. If you continue to abide in him, you could ask whatever it is, and he will give it to you. But a lot of times we do not continue. There's that key word, continue. So if I only hear God's voice on Sunday, but I don't continue from Monday to Friday to continue in him, why would he give me what I've been asking for that week? Continuation is continually doing it, following him and loving him every single day. Not just one day of the week. Continue to spend time with him. Continue to spend praying to him and inquiring of him, right? And he will help us to hear, right? So unbelief. You know, some of the pastors, it's amazing how some congregations, they don't believe God still speaks today. In my mentoring group, some Baptists don't believe that God still speaks. Some Baptists do. And so when they practice hearing God's voice, they have a hard time, but then they realize that God is speaking. So God is still speaking. He wants you to hear his voice. So unbelief, is there unbelief in our hearts? It says that Jesus couldn't do miracles in Nazareth because of unbelief. It blows me away. God Almighty in the flesh did not do any miracles because of unbelief. I know he could have done it, he's God, but he says he didn't do any miracles. Is there any unbelief in our own life right now that is hindering us to think, well, God doesn't speak to me? And you say, Lord, help me with my unbelief. Lord, help me to hear your voice. Lord, I pray that when I read your word, it would illuminate, to come to life. And as we spend time, God will speak to you. But to have a willingness to say, Lord, help me in my unbelief. And then when we ask him that, our faith grows. It's not because of lack of faith. Because the only faith we need is as small as a mustard seed. If you know how big a mustard seed is, it's so small, that's not much faith. Right? You have to be careful of the faith movement, too. That's way out to left field. But you only need a small amount of faith. Say, Lord, help me to grow in faith. And the Lord will encourage you. And that's why when we journal, write down when God speaks to you, it's actually helping you to grow in faith. Because then you can say, on this date, God spoke to me and revealed this to me. This date, God answered that prayer. This date, God was speaking to me on this. And then how God answered this prayer, this prayer, this prayer, this prayer. When we are journaling, then it helps us to remember how God is speaking and also reminds us that we are hearing his voice. Because how many times have God has spoken to you in your lifetime? Probably quite a few times. You remember everything that God has spoken to you in the last month. And why not? But if we journal, then we could go back and say, you know what? Lord, I'm going through hard times right now. My faith is kind of low right now. And I look back through my journals like, oh my goodness, Lord, thank you for answering this prayer, this prayer, this prayer, how you've been speaking to me through this. A journal is journaling what God has been doing in your life. And it takes, like with any new habit, it takes time. It takes time. Like I'm going to make a point of doing this today. I'm going to do it again tomorrow. I'm going to write this prayer out. Habit takes time to build. You don't think about breathing. We don't have to think about, I need to go and make myself a sandwich. I'm hungry, I need to eat. Right? We take for habit. What I'm saying is we need to journal. We ought to journal. So that it reminds us how God is still speaking to help us in those times when we have lack, our faith is low. Six is fear of chaos in the church. So some churches discourage people from hearing God's voice. You know, that was one of my fears when I was doing this with our mentoring group. I was like, yeah, I've been in some services when people are just way off the left field. Chaos. Because you got people that want to come in and just give a word of testimony, this prophetic word, but they are not part of the congregation. So they bring this chaos in. They speak this word and go, and they cause chaos. Or people are out bursting out in tongues and this and that. But it was in 1 Corinthians 14, it talks about if nobody can interpret speaking in tongues in the church, then nobody speaks tongues in church. When somebody is given a word, they need to go to the leadership, and the leadership prays, and they write down the word of that prophetic word. So there's safeguards, right? So we should be asking, Lord, you know, to have safeguards, but able to practice hearing God's voice. Does that make sense? So when somebody comes in and wants to give a word in this congregation, first they have to come to the leadership, and they have to write it down on a piece of paper. They are not allowed to give that prophetic word in the congregation until it's been prayed about prior to that. And sometimes I have had come against me, says, oh, I'm questioning the Holy Spirit. I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm taking my role as a pastor seriously. And I've had some people get really upset. And I say, if it's from God, it doesn't matter if I give it today or a week or 2 weeks from now, but we're going to be praying about it. And if it is from God, we'll share it, because that's why you're written down. So that's a safeguard to the congregation. That's why you won't see somebody just come up from the street and give a prophetic word. So then the fear of chaos in the church is helping us to know. And also when we're spending time in the Word of God, when somebody would give a prophetic word, we know if that's from God or not, because we're in tune to what God is speaking. Does it line up to the Scriptures? The Bible is the filter that we look through. So that's why we need to hear God's voice, to know God's word, to know his voice. So instead of, you need to use the gifts that God has been given to you. We have sometimes a gift of perceivers. And they perceive things. They know of God. So we all have been given wisdom, and we ask God for wisdom to know, is it of him or not? Proverbs is a great one. To ask him for godly wisdom. Do we ask for godly wisdom? 1 Corinthians 14:40 says, let all things be done decently and in order. Right? Decently in order. So when things are in the church, in the congregation, and done decently in order, then you should be able to have confidence knowing that things are not going to go haywire. Put another way, Paul's response to the misuse of God's gifts wasn't, well then just put them away and quit using them. Instead, he provided wise instructions. Many areas of life would be chaotic if careful rules were not laid down, right? There's why God laid things down properly, things that are done in order. So just think of flight, pilots, if things weren't done correctly, what would happen to that plane? Right? Would you feel confident getting onto an airplane if you knew the maintenance people are like, I don't need to follow the rules or the checklist, or the pilot didn't need to do the checklist. Would you get on that plane if you knew that? I wouldn't. because I don't feel like doing what I'm supposed to be doing. So like even going to the doctor or nurse, if the doctor or nurse didn't really finish school, he is a dropout, would you want to go to them? I wouldn't have confidence going to them. What about driving? Right? We have rules about driving. When we go down the highway, when it says 110, is it a suggestion that's only 110? Or just actually, that's the benchmark. You got to get up to at least 110. Over that, it's fine. No. It's not the Indy 500, right? So when there's a reason why we follow guidelines, laws. The Ten Commandments is what helps us to stay in check with the Lord. But it's in kilometers an hour, not miles an hour. Right? Just like if you were properly trained, you would just be a wreck to happen. So the Lord is training us up to grow in hearing His voice. He's training us up to be fruitful. He's training us up to abide in Him, to trust Him, and to rely on Him. He's training us up in these things. And it's a wonderful thing as a congregation. We come and He says, you know what, maybe I've really impressed to share this word. I mean, right? If we meet together all the time, we know one another because we have fellowship with one another. And so somebody says, can I just share this word? Most likely we will say yes, because we know you. Because if you're in this congregation, we'll say, well, see if it is from the Lord or not. We encourage people to share. And if it's not, then it's fine. Right? There's a difference. So number seven, not desiring a friendship with God. Do we desire to have a relationship with our Heavenly Father? Do we desire to have a relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ? We honestly desire that. Because some people only want to relate to God when they need Him, to get them out of trouble, or to bail them out. You know, that's a lot of times when they turn to God. When you see these mass shootings, which are very unfortunate, you hear people getting killed by means of weapons, or bats, or knives, in schools. What was the first thing to be taken out of the schools? God. They never wanted God in the schools anymore. They wanted God out. They wanted out. But who's the first one they ask? What they ask? They ask for God to be back in the schools. They ask for prayer. So when you start taking God out of the situation, God out of your relationship, then why would you hear God's voice? So do we desire a relationship with the Heavenly Father? Do I desire to sit with Him? Do I really, really want to regularly meet with Him? To have an attitude to say, Lord, I want to fix my mind and my heart on You this morning, during this time, to be still. The one devotion Zane and I are doing is like, it's asked us to be still. Don't be thinking about what's going to have to happen later. But it asks, is your mind fixed on the Lord right now? Is your heart fixed on Him? Do you really want to receive from Him right now? And you can say, Lord, help me to have my mind fixed on You and not to worry about what's going to have to happen. And that's another reason why we journal, is that we can write down what we have to do later so we don't forget, but then we can focus on what the Lord wants to speak to us right now. So do we desire to have a relationship with the Father? If I didn't really want to have a relationship with a friend, if I didn't really want to know somebody, could that really be my friend? Right? We have to be a friend, we desire to get to know them, know their heart. Then we know, when you're on the phone, when somebody calls you up, you don't have call display, and you start talking to somebody, somebody calls up, do you recognize their voice right away? And who are those people that you recognize their voice right away? people that you spend time with. You recognize their voice right away. So when we spend time with the Lord, we recognize his voice right away. So that's the reason why we spend time. Number 8, too busy to spend time listening to God. How many of us are too busy? You can't, it's amazing, we'll make excuses why we're so busy. I'm so busy because of this and this and this. Are we, say, Lord, you're important to me. You're more important than this. Because if you're saying that I'm too busy to meet with the Lord, what was the second commandment? Do not have any idols before me. Right? Nothing should stop you from being your way of actually meeting with the Lord. Right? And so let's say if you're on horseback, you'd be out there and you can spend time and God would be speaking through nature. If you're on your quad, I loved it because God would be speaking to me when I was on my quad because I loved it because the outdoors to see his majesty. Or hiking. Or you could be walking. It's somewhere that's no distractions but you and him. Is there things in your life that are too distracting? Because it's also, which is a tough one for me, is to have Sabbath, a day of rest. That's a really hard one for me. Am I having a Sabbath, a day of rest from my work? Because that's part of the Ten Commandments. That's a tough one. We should not be so busy to say that I can't spend time with you today, Lord. Tomorrow I can. I'll fit you in. That doesn't work. He wants us, if you read Exodus 20, to have a day of rest, a Sabbath. It doesn't have to be a Sunday. What you have to pick a day. It could be a Monday. It could be a Tuesday. Day of rest from your work. Not to be thinking of work or planning for work, but a day of rest from your work. Because that could be an idol. That is an idol. I used to be a workaholic. I used to be, and it's been tough. But God's been gracious to help me not to be such a workaholic. And that's the one I struggle with at times. Because I can't, I have a hard, my wife was the other day, says, why don't you sit down? I'm like, I need to be busy doing something. I still struggle with that one. Right? I still struggle with a day of rest. I struggle with that. But are we saying, Lord, I desire to spend time with you, the day of rest, relax? And sometimes it reveals that we find our identity in our work. That's what I've found. Sometimes I have found my identity in my work. That's how I am identified. And sometimes then we find our worth in that. But who should we find our worth in? Jesus. Jesus is who makes us worthy. Not our job, not our family, not our kids. But the Lord makes us worthy. So as we spend time listening to him, say, Lord, I am going to take this day, a day of rest from all things, from my work, to spend with you. And I get it, some of us have animals, we have to water and feed them. But to have this time to spending with him. So what spoke out to you today? What 8 weeds maybe perhaps are hindering you to hear God's voice? I love these ones because there's a life application. There's so many awesome Bible studies, and we go through the motions of everything. But are we applying what we are learning? And that's becoming religious. I just go through the motions of it. Am I applying what I'm learning from the Word of God today? I speak to that to myself. Am I learning? And am I applying? Right? It says, do not be just hearers of God's Word, but be doers of God's Word to grow in godly character. So if you want to go through it and to to use the life application, and there's a Bible reading, and sit down in a quiet place. It says take time to quiet yourself before Jesus and meditate on the verses that you just read. Write down any thoughts that come to your mind. You practice hearing God's voice. He says, right? Just write them down. There's a great application for our lives to grow, to know Him. And that's one thing I loved about COVID. We all had to slow down. Right? We all had to slow down. And our lives were different, but we also, the church should have been blooming because we would be hearing God's voice better. There's no other distractions. So if there's distractions, ask the Lord to quieten them. To be able to hear His voice in the quietness or in the loudness. So we'll close. So I don't know how. What do you think about this? Is it challenging? I know it's very simple. But maybe next week I'll bring day two. So, Father, we thank You that, Lord, that You desire for us to hear Your voice. And I pray that, Father, that we would desire wholeheartedly to spend time with You. And, Lord, to commit throughout our days, just have a time out and just say, Lord, here I am. I desire to hear Your voice, to spend time with You, and to hear from You. So, Lord, help us to hear Your voice. Help us, Lord, to feed on Your word, Your living word. Help us, Lord, to only hear from You and not worry about. Help us only hear Your voice and no other voice. Help us, Lord, to write down what You're speaking to us about. Lord, help us apply Your truth to our lives. And Lord, we thank You that You have given us the Holy Spirit to help us, to lead us and to guide us and to encourage us, to develop us. Father, we thank You that You're the gardener and You prune us every day. We thank You, Lord, that You are the God that sanctifies us day in and day out. So, Lord, we desire to be wholeheartedly led by You. Thank You, Lord, that You have desired nothing but the best for us. So, Lord, help us to trust You, to grow in faith, to rely on You more and more all the time. In Jesus' name, amen.